Heavenly Father, we praise you and bless you. We thank you, Lord, that as we come into your presence this morning, you are here in our midst. So by the power of your Holy Spirit, work amongst us, we pray. We pray that you will open our hearts and that, Lord, as we leave this place today, we will know that we have met with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you keep your Bibles open, please. And I'm just looking for the page number. 1179. Okay. Well, it's... If you ask children today, what would they like to be when they grow up? A majority of them say, I'd like to be a celebrity or a footballer. That is what the research says. So where is this influence coming from? Much of it, of course, is from the TV and the social media. And I hope that most of us here this morning will be disheartened when we hear that this is what most of our young people in this country have a vision or a desire to be. But maybe what if I asked you the same question with a little added phrase? What would you like to be when you grow up in Christ? What would you say? What would I say? Well, let's look at the passage, because in this passage we see it spelt out for us that in verse 15 we should be able to say, we want to be blameless and pure, children of God, who are like stars in a dark sky. This is how we should be. This is what we should desire. So let's have a look at this passage in a bit more detail. And we also see two role models that we can emulate, Timothy and Epaphroditus. Well, we heard earlier the song, unfortunately we couldn't get the video up for some reason, about grumbling. And we are told, in fact, in our Bibles, it probably has a title, Do Everything Without Grumbling, because it says that grumbling, we are told, is a barrier to becoming blameless and pure. Well, Alec Mattia said this, and I thought it was quite salutary, really. He says this: grumbling may be justified, but nowhere does the self-centered heart of humankind more quickly take control than through the machinery of criticism and promptings of self-interest. Quite a warning. Well, what is the Greek word here? What does it convey? Well, it conveys selfish complaining, an unbalanced criticism, impatience of what is not yet understood, and a grudging unwillingness to be helpful. So that is a warning for us. And perhaps we are pretty good at grumbling about things, even when we have good weather. Some grumble it's too hot. If it's not too hot, it's too windy, I was told this morning. Too windy, or too cold, or too humid. We're quite good at that, aren't we, as Brits? But more seriously, when we grumble, it is not helpful. It doesn't portray what we were singing about a moment ago, that we will sing of the goodness of God. Well, in this passage that we've had read to us, there are two aspects to our becoming: our working out and God working within us. Let's look at verse 12, because it can be confusing, and I don't want us to be confused, because it says we must work out our salvation. But we need to be absolutely clear that our salvation is through Jesus Christ and him alone. It is through his death and resurrection. his shedding of blood for us, him taking our punishment for our wrongdoing upon himself and dying in our place, but him rising again and conquering death, opening the way to eternal life. There is only one name in heaven and earth by which we can be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. So we cannot add or take away from that. So what does it mean when it says we need to work out our salvation? Well, we can't add or take away from it. But once we are saved, once we know that we are in Jesus Christ, we need to grow in him and cooperate with him, allowing God's Holy Spirit to work in us. And we need to choose to do his will in our lives. And it uses another phrase that perhaps we find quite difficult. It says in verse 12 again, with fear and trembling. What does it mean? Because the Bible tells us time and time again, do not be afraid. Every time an angel appears, do not be afraid. In Timothy, we're told we are not given a spirit of fear. So what does this mean? Well, I believe it means that we need to remember who God is and the holiness of God. And because he is holy, because we are saved, because we have experienced his love, we have a reverent fear of him, or perhaps awe is a better word. We have the awe of him, and at the same time, we have a godly fear of ourselves, that we know our own weaknesses, and we know that we can succumb to temptation. And yet we're told that God loves us so much that he works within us. Verse 13, God works in you and me to do his will and to act according to his purpose. Why? Because he wants us to be blameless and pure, children of God and shining as stars. So it's great comfort here. Yes, we have to work out our salvation, but God is at work in us. We have his reassurance. We have his assurance too that we are his children. In verse 15, we are children of God. You are a son or a daughter of our heavenly Father, of the King of Kings. So are you a prince or a princess? Because our God is the King of heaven and earth. And nothing can change that. When you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are born again of the Spirit of God, and you have become a child of God. How wonderful is that? And we are, present tense, we are stars in the sky, lights to be seen, because Jesus is the light of the world, and because he lives in us and through us, we too should be lights, like stars in the sky. And so we can rest confidently in Jesus Christ. And yet, we need to work out his salvation in our lives. So I mentioned a moment ago the will of God and our will. How is it God is working out his will? But what do we need to do? In Colossians 3, it says this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. Our mind, where is our mind? Is it on the next job, a bigger house, a better holiday? Or are we looking to become more Christ-like? Where is our mind? What is our vision? And then in verse 16, we have the word of life. God's word. Who is responsible for you and I to become blameless and pure like our Father in heaven? Each one of us is responsible for laying hold of that grace that God has given us through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We need to study his word. Looking round, I think each one of us here can read. What a privilege. Many in the world can't, but we can read. We have Bibles galore in our country. And how much do we read God's word? We need to read it, we need to study it, we need to think about what it means. Because the Bible is a source of light and life. It not only tells us of life that we can have with God our Father through Jesus Christ, but it imparts life to us. We're reminded in the book of Timothy that all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching us, for rebuking us, for correcting us, and training us to become pure and blameless. The word of God enables us to work out spiritually. You may be one of those people who work out physically. I don't know how many have got a gym in your garage. Maybe some of you have. Or you've got dumbbells or whatever. And you work out because you want to have a better physique and keep healthy. And time in a physical workout gives results. Results that you can see when you look in the mirror. And so too, if we work out spiritually through Bible reading and prayer and fellowship with other Christians, we become stronger and more mature. We need to read God's word and allow God through his Holy Spirit to speak to us and transform us and renew us. And I wonder, is our mind set on becoming more Christ-like, blameless and pure? One of the great things about the Church of England is that we always have confession during our services. But how much time do we spend asking God, will you show me where I am blameless? Show me where I am not pure. What are my thoughts that need to be corrected and changed? Do I have an impure attitude towards others? Do I have impure thoughts? Am I blameless in the way that I have dealt with someone at work, or my children, or my parents? So often, we very quickly and easily say sorry for the things that immediately come to mind. But you know, if we want to be truly filtered, as it were, we need to ask God by his Holy Spirit to show us where we are not blameless, where we are not pure. Because God, by his transforming power of his Holy Spirit, can make us more like him. Because God loves you and me and wants to transform us. We need to shine bright as stars in a dark world. The phrase used here in this passage, in the verse 15, is that we have a warped and crooked generation. Well, that's a phrase taken from the Old Testament in Deuteronomy. And it was often used as a phrase in the Old Testament when people had turned away from God and were following their own ways. And we live in a world and in a society like that. People who've turned their back on God, who are following other gods, whether it's materialism or whatever. And so we, as God's children, as God's people, should be a stark contrast, like stars in a dark sky. We should be, by our very being, countercultural. We should be different. We should be a light to those who are looking for light. As God's children, what is the likeness to our Father? We often say, oh, she looks like a dad. In fact, one of my sons sent me a picture of his little boy yesterday and they said, oh, Stephen, he looks just like you did at that age. Are we like that? Can people look at us and say, you look just like your Heavenly Father? Wouldn't it be great if that's what people saw when they looked at you and me? When they spend time with us, can they see that Christ-likeness in us? Because that's what this passage says that we should be. We need to make sure that our light is bright, that we're not allowing grumbling or selfishness or our own desires to dim our light. What will you do this coming week to become a brighter shining star? How are you going to work out your salvation? You know, it's often asked at interview, where do you want to be in 3 years' time or 5 years' time or whatever? Maybe we should ask ourselves, who do we want to be in 3 years' time or 5 years' time? Who do we want to be? Do we need perhaps to change our daily schedule? Do we need to make sure that we've got a time when the phone is switched off, we shut ourselves away for a few minutes to read God's word and to just be with him? Do we need to download an app on our phones so we can listen to some songs or Bible reading? What will you do to help you to become more Christ-like? A child who resembles their father, blameless and pure, shining as stars in a dark sky. And then we have two role models, which I don't have much time to talk about, but we have Timothy and Epaphroditus. Timothy is told he's actually the first second generation Christian mentioned in the New Testament, due in no small part to his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. It seems his father wasn't a believer. Isn't that wonderful? What great influence they had on Timothy as he was growing up. What about you? What about, in what influence have you got over your children or maybe your grandchildren? What desires have they got as they grow up? Timothy, nurtured in the faith from a young boy. But we're told that Timothy was one who had genuine concern, verse 20 and 21. Genuine concern. Selfless. It's not something that we see a lot in today's society. But we too, like Timothy, need to make sure that we're not too preoccupied with our own needs, that they crowd out our love and service for others. Timothy was genuinely concerned for the church at Philippi. Are we genuinely concerned for our brothers and sisters in Christ here and for others too? And Epaphroditus too. Wow, how is he described by Paul? If we look down at verse 25 onwards, he's described as a brother, a messenger, a fellow worker, a soldier, and a help to Paul taking care of his needs. Quite a man. Someone who therefore was lovable, diligent, courageous, almost lost his life in serving the gospel, trustworthy, and with a servant heart of compassion for the Philippians who were worrying about him. Wow. Two role models for us to emulate. And yet we're not all called to be Timothy's or follow after Epaphroditus, but we are all called to be shine like stars in the sky, to be God's children who resemble our Father, to be pure and blameless. So let us, with God's help, be stars that shine brightly amongst those whom we work and live, that they too might be drawn to God's love in this world before they reach eternity. Amen.